So the Sanskrit shlok is as follows. Sarve vayam tavad ihasmahe atha kalevaram yavad asau vihaya lokam param virajaskam vishokam yasyati ayam bhagavat pradhanah. Sarve vayam tavadihasmahetha. Sarve vayam tavadihasmahetha. Kalevaram yavadasau vihaya. Kalevaram yavadasau vihaya. Lokam param virajaskam vishokam. Lokam param virajaskam vishokam. Yasyatyayam bhagavat pradhanah. Yasyatyayam bhagavat pradhanah. Sarve vayam tavadihasmahetha. Kalevaram yavadasau vihaya. Lokam param virajaskam vishokam. Yasyatyayam bhagavat pradhanah. Sarve vayam tavadihasmahetha. Kalevaram yavadasau vihaya. Lokam param virajaskam vishokam. Yasyatyayam bhagavat pradhanah. Yasyatyayam bhagavat pradhanah. Vayam tavadihasmahetha. Tam yavadasau vihaya. Tam param virajaskam vishokam. Yasyatyayam bhagavat pradhanah. Ladies, evayam tavadihasmahetha. Kalevaram tavadasau vihaya. Lokam param virajaskam vishokam. Yasyatyayam bhagavat pradhanah. Kalevayam tavadihasmahetha. Kalevaram tavadasau vihaya. Kambaram tavadasam vishokam. Kalevayam bhagavat pradhana. Kalevayam tavadihasmahetha. वदसौ विहाय लोकं परं विरजस्सं विशोकम् यस्यत्ययं भागवत प्रधाना.
द वर्ड फॉर वर्ड मीनिंग इज एज फॉलोज. सर्वे ऑल वयम ऑफ अस तावत एज लॉन्ग एज इह एट दिस प्लेस आस्महे शल स्टे अथ हियर आफ्टर कलेवरम द बॉडी यावत सो लॉन्ग असो द किंग विहाय गिविंग अप लोकम द प्लैनेट परम द सुप्रीम वीरजस्कम कंप्लीटली फ्री फ्रॉम मंडेन कंटेमिनेशन विशोकम कंप्लीटली फ्रीड फ्रॉम ऑल काइंड्स ऑफ लैमेंटेशन यास्यति रिटर्न्स अयम दिस भागवत डिवोटी प्रधानः द फॉरमोस्ट. ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रीला एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद. Translation. We shall all wait here until the foremost devotee of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit, returns to the supreme planet, which is completely free from all mundane contamination and all kinds of lamentation. Purport. Beyond the limitation of the material creation, which is compared to the cloud in the sky, there is the Paravyoma, or the spiritual sky, full of planets called Vaikunthas. Such Vaikuntha planets are also differently known as the Purushottam Lok, Achyuta Lok, Trivikrama Lok, Rishikesha Lok, Keshava Lok, Aniruddha Lok, Madhava Lok, प्रद्युम्न लोक संकर्षण लोक श्रीधर लोक वासुदेव लोक अयोध्या लोक द्वारका लोक एंड मेनी अदर मिलियंस ऑफ स्पिरिचुअल लोकस वेर इन द पर्सनलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड प्रेडोमिनेट्स ऑल द लिविंग एंटिटीज देयर आर लिबरेटेड सोल्स विथ स्पिरिचुअल बॉडीज एज गुड एज दैट ऑफ द लॉर्ड. देर इज नो मटेरियल कंटेमिनेशन. Everything there is spiritual, and therefore there is nothing objectively lamentable. They are full of transcendental bliss and are without birth, death, old age and disease. And amongst all the above mentioned Vaikuntha lokas, there is one supreme loka called Goloka Vrindavan, which is the abode of the Lord Sri Krishna and his specific associates. Maharaj Parikshit was destined to achieve this particular loka, and the great rishis assembled there could foresee this. All of them consulted among themselves about the great departure of the great king, and they wanted to see him up to the last moment, because they would no more be able to see such a great devotee of the Lord. When a great devotee of the Lord passes away, there is nothing to be lamented, because the devotee is destined to enter into the kingdom of God. But the sorry plight is that such great devotees leave our sight, and therefore there is every reason to be sorry. As the Lord is rarely to be seen by our present eyes, so also are the great devotees. The great rishis therefore correctly decided to remain on the spot till the last moment.
वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं
Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So first of all I would like to thank you for coming on such a rainy day. In fact, this year there was some prediction that the climate is going to be really very bad. The ocean levels are rising, temperatures are rising, and I was just thinking how bad it could be. And just a few days ago, it was reported about 100 people died in just a span of 48 hours or 72-73 days because of the tremendous heat wave. So seeing this rainfall, actually I am very happy. And I used to be welcoming the rains right from my childhood. I always I was actually happy to see Prabhupada telling in a conversation. Prabhupada once said, you know what sense gratification is? Something like that. He said it should be raining but not very heavy like what's happening now. In Hindi, it is called Rimjhim Barish. Okay? And you should be in your front porch or some courtyard on a rocking chair and enjoy that. So, of course, I don't know how many people in the world can have that kind of a satisfaction. But then immediately, Yesterday I was thinking, am I becoming Krishna conscious by seeing the rainfall? Have I thanked the Lord for sending the rainfall? And then in my childhood, in our school textbook, there was a Marathi poem, Nemechi Yeto Pavasala. The rainy season comes every year regularly. हे सृष्टि से कौतुक जान बाळा ओ माय चाइल्ड डियर चाइल्ड प्लीज सी दिस मिरेकल ऑफ मटेरियल नेचर ऑफ सृष्टि Now this was done by some poet maybe 80, 90, 100 years ago. And the article which we were, the lesson which we were taught had only this couplet, these two lines. That just see the miracle of nature, that rainy season comes every year regularly. By now, this author, who was scientifically trained, so he writes in a book, and that book is our standard reading material for us, English medium, Marathi syllabus. That what's the big deal in rainfall coming every year? It has to come. Every year the seasons change. There is winter season, then there is summer season, and after that there is rainy season. And at that time there was no Prabhupada to train you up. So I was thinking, when I read the first line, that there is a miracle, I said, yeah, there is a miracle. Now this guy is telling us there is no miracle. And I was saying, oh yeah, there is no miracle as such. It's a machine, and the machine keeps on producing seasons. Until I came across a quote, that you can look at this world, you can look at your wife, as your life, as there is no miracle, or you can look at it as if every day there is a miracle. The choice is yours. I said, this makes sense. So we'll try to see a little bit of this in our discussion today. I also appreciate this particular drama, and especially this Karma Bai. She is Maharashtrian, so all of us from Maharashtra here we have our collars tight, that someone amongst us has gone all the way to Jagannath Puri. Otherwise, I also don't remember even once knowing about Jagannath Baldev Subhadra in my childhood. Maharashtra, I mean, I don't think there is a temple of Jagannath apart from what Prabhupada instituted. We know Puri, we know Dwarka, we know how Shankaracharya united these four corners of India, but we don't know the details. So, Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj, in one of his classes, says that Jagannath Puri is such that everything is strictly according to custom. You can't go here, you can't go there. This particular offering, with this particular ingredients, with this particular thing, very strict. And suddenly, there is a paradigm busting incident like Karma Bai's Khichdi. Then that is included, that becomes a new norm, that this has to be offered, this has to be done like that. So, only after her departure, and only when Jagannath Swami came in the dream of this pujari and the king, saying that, I love her khichdi, why don't you do that? So then that also was incorporated. Alright, so back to our syllabus. What is happening today? Sarve vayam tavad. We all, who is speaking? All these rishis, munis, sadhus who had come to see the last condition of Parikshit Maharaj. And this is text 21. So, the back story so far, the title itself is The Appearance of Shukadev Goswami. Why did Shukadev Goswami come on the stage? Stage in the sense, why did he come on the scene? Why did he present himself? He was someone who, he was least bothered with preaching. He was least bothered with going to somebody and giving him a class or a discourse. The same pages of Bhagavatam describe him as go dohana matra. Somebody who would stand in front of a house just so that some milk can be taken from a cow, maybe like this one glass, that's it. And that he would drink and would leave. Had nothing to do with grihasthas, nothing to do with grihastha life. He himself was, he didn't come out of his mother's womb for 12 long years saying that I don't want to go in Maya. And his father, Vyasdev, promised him, oh, you won't fall in Maya, don't worry. And getting that assurance from his father, he came out. And like a normal family, Vyasdev was thinking he would stay with him. He came out, body fully formed, and started walking away. And there is a... Krishna has made this family set up in such a way that is natural atmiyata. That's the word. Atmiyata means this person belongs to me. So, ahamta, I, for a father or mother, I brought up this child, I gave birth. It is good because that gives responsibility. Ahamta is I am the father, I am the mother, and mamata, this is mine. Unless it is yours and you are sort of convinced about it, why would you take care of it? So, the false ego plays the big role here. It is very easy to understand. If right now some chit comes to me and I am told that there is a scooter, last four digits are 6841 and there is a branch of a tree has crashed on that. Now most of you would be, I didn't come on a scooter. Suddenly you will find somebody rushing out. Why is that man rushing out? It's his scooter. Hey, it's mine. Now this is called, in 1 second you can understand what this false ego does. There is already a sense of proprietorship. That sense of proprietorship is evoked by a particular reaction. So therefore, we all have it, and part of it makes the world kind of move. This is why everybody thinks in terms of me, my body, my family, my nation. But a word of caution. And what is that word of caution? As soon as material energy with this three modes, sattva, raja, tama, in sattva mode, this is my family, I would like to maintain it. This is my body, I have to maintain it. Nothing wrong with that. But in this material world, nothing remains sattvic for long. Sattva is a gift. Raja is a result of material nature working, and tamaguna is the natural sequence of that. So what began as a desire to maintain, then there is competition, then there is ghrana, there is hatred. Opposite of too much attachment is repulsion. So that is caused by the mode of passion, rajogun. And finally, tamogun is, I'll destroy it. I can destroy it. People have, like, if this estate, it is falling in somebody's hands, I'll destroy it. We see in the current European conflict between two nations, if there is a bridge which can be used for dual purposes, for us to cross over the river, or the enemy also can cross over. They say, oh, we will not allow the enemy to cross over. We'll destroy it. So this is the tamoguna acting. Now, Vyasdev is beyond all of this. Vyasdev is not subjected to sattva, raja, tama. He's beyond. But is an example. And this is just one shloka in the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto. Vyasdev is running after his son.
Hey, son, son, please wait. Ha putra, ha putra.
And in a very poetic way, it is described, it is just the trees which were giving an echo. Ha putra, 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 like that.
As if, almost as if the trees are mocking him. Hey, he's not going to come. He's not going to come back. You wanted a son who would be free from all aspects of material nature. You got one. Now why you want to entangle him again in family affairs? So it's like, oh no, I don't want him to get married and again start a family and everything. But he's my son and can't I just stay with him? Can I just not have that satisfaction? It's too much to ask, people might say. So Vyasadeva then devised a particular strategy. He made his disciples know some of the shlokas which glorify Lord Krishna. And especially two of them. One would be glorifying Lord Krishna's pastimes where he is so merciful that he delivers even someone like Putana who came to kill him. And the other one is about Krishna's personal beauty. Barha pidam natavar vapu karnayo karnikaram. That he is so beautiful, barha pidam, beautified with the peacock feather. Natavara vapu is a dancer. His body is that of a dancer. And Bibhradvas, dazzlingly shining, beautiful ornaments and attire. Randhran Venu Radhara Sudhaya. And when he plays his flute, this is not a flute. He's pouring nectar from his lips into the flute. What exactly is a flute? It is a piece of bamboo with holes in it. So something which is having holes cannot be producing nectar. So the nectar comes from Krishna's lips. So this is how this beautiful person Krishna enters Vrindavan, Pravishan. And they were told to go and chant, 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 chant. Whichever part of forest Shukadeva Goswami would be, presumably around. They were not sure. And no wonder, one day, as some of his disciples were singing this aloud, Shukadeva Goswami came and said, "Where did you get this information? Who is this person?" And they said, "Our spiritual master has taught us." "Who is your spiritual master?" He said, "Vyas Maharshi." And he said, "These verses are very beautiful. He has more than 18,000 of them." "Oh, really?" So normally if you see something good, and then you have something where more of that is available, there is lobha. You become more and more greedy, which is a good kind of greed. So this is how, this is not mentioned in our Bhagavatam here. This is from other supplementary Puranas. At least Vyasadeva gets to see his son. And then when Maharaj Parikshit is told by a messenger from Shamika Rishi's ashram. If some of you are following the story, Maharaj Parikshit goes on hunting, which is a very allowable, normal act for a king in those days. They would only kill carnivorous animals. They would maintain the balance in the forest in case someone here is thinking that killing animals, is that allowed? Yeah, you have to understand timing is different. the biggest emphasis put by Vedic culture is that a king should not be away from this so-called hinsa. He has to kill his enemies. And today it is very difficult to understand why Kshatriyas are allowed to kill. So Prabhupada says that because Kshatriyas are, there are no Kshatriyas in one sense. Yeah, no real Kshatriyas. A simple test. In some Rajput families, if a Yuvaraj means a prince, regent, somebody who is going to become king soon, give him one dagger, like this long, and send him in the forest where there are tigers. And find one, kill one and come back. Now, how many of you here are, how many of we here are eager to show our Kshatriyatva like that? We say, what about associates, support staff, food? No, it's all whatever you can carry. King George the 4th, 3rd, 2nd, I really don't know. I don't care also. But he was in India and there is a photograph, old historical photograph of 60-70 animals killed by this one British monarch in his visit to India. And if you see the details, there are about 5,200 people beating drums. And then archers, plus other staff with musket guns, old type of hunting rifles. The king would be on an elephant, nicely protected. He is way high, protected. And these 50 drummers and about 100 more, they would go from three different directions and catch or capture or push these animals in one corner. And the king would be waiting there on his elephant seat high. And then took, 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 took. And then they would parade the whole thing, as you see how valiant he is. Again, different times. Today it is not allowed because these animals are getting depleted in numbers. I saw there is one type of hunting allowed where you go with a telescopic rifle and it has a laser beam attached to it. So there is a particular region where you want to kill the deer or whatever. A guide brings you and thoda reverb kram karo. Hare Krishna. So the guide comes there and he helps you spot out that deer. And you train your rifle on it. There is a telescopic beam, a laser which goes out. It touches the body of the deer and that's it. Why? Because the number of tourists who want to hunt, they are in their 50s and 100s and 200 are coming. And there are only 4 or 5 deer left. But they want the thrill. They want the thrill of searching for 2, 3, 4 hours and... I feel it is good. You get the thrill plus they get the money for preserving that forest area. So, this was not there to help our Yuvaraj who goes there, tries to find a tiger. He kills him if he can with his bare arms and his jambiya, dagger, whatever. Reports back saying that I have killed him. A whole party leaves the palace, brings the tiger back, and that tiger is given a royal funeral. Because the lion or tiger is also considered a king of the forest. He has given his life just so that our prince regent, he can be properly declared as a kshatriya. What if the regent dies? There is an equal chance. This Yuvaraj also may meet his death. But at least they had this garv se kaho kind of feeling that he was not killed. He didn't die by smoking drugs
or he didn't die by stepping on a banana skin at Nariman Point. He was killed by a equally powerful royalty from the animal kingdom. Srila Prabhupada and some disciples went to a zoo. I think only once maybe they went there. And there was a lion who was not exactly interested in entertaining the visitors. So one disciple started poking the lion with some pebbles or saying that, hey, get up. And Prabhupada said, shh, he's a king. Treat him properly. You might be outside, he might be inside, but he's a king. So, these are some small things which we need to know when we live in this material world. So, Maharaj Parikshit, he went on a hunting expedition. He couldn't get anything. In fact, he got afflicted with a very rare thing. Too much of thirst. Abnormal thirst. And he said, I don't know why I'm getting so much thirsty. Okay, here is an ashram. So he goes there. Anyone here? Anyone here? No answer. And then he goes a little bit inside, finds a rishi wrapped in meditation, eyes closed. And all kinds of strange thoughts come in Maharaj Parikshit's mind that, was he normal a few moments ago and seeing me, suddenly he's doing like this just to avoid me? Very unnatural. Maharaj Parikshit is very cultured. He's a Rajarshi. Rajarshi Sattama, one of the best of the Rajarshis. I'm making a small build-up. That first of all, he won't be afflicted by thirst. Second point, he won't be so insulting. He won't be so insolent in his behavior. And then he's saying, Jalam Dehi, it's like, can't even speak properly. Can you give me some water? And seeing this rishi continuing his meditation, normally he would have offered his pranams. But this time he's getting very angry. As he leaves that small ashram meditative space, he sees a dead snake. He just picks it with his bow and wraps it around the neck of this rishi. As if, you're supposed to give me a garland. I'm the king. And you didn't give me a garland. Here is from me. Something from my side. And then he goes back. So, king becoming abnormally angry, thirsty, insulting behavior, all of this is for the benefit of those who read Bhagavatam carefully. It is very clear, this is induced by Krishna. You may say, how do you say that and how do you come to that conclusion? Because it was simply impossible that Maharaj Parikshit would be doing any of these things. He comes back and is thinking, oh my God, what did I do? Something is going to happen. And he feels that, let my entire dynasty be destroyed. My whole family, my money, my treasury, my army, my kingdom, let everything be destroyed. I don't want to be somebody who was guilty of insulting the Brahminical class, Brahma Shap, which is it's in very culture. Why should somebody be given a Brahma Shap, the sharp curse of a Brahmana? It means you insulted a Brahmana. You're that unrefined, you're that uncultured, nobody trained you up. So, here what happens is, Shamik Rishi opens his eyes. He also is in meditation. He was not doing a natak. He was not feigning sleepy meditative or eyes closed, he also was under that spell. And then he got up, he saw a dead snake in his on his body. He just said, all right, I need to remove it. But before he could remove it, a boy in the ashram saw. What did he see? Shamikarishi with a snake around his body. He goes back running to the place where Shamika's son is taking a bath in the river. And he says, your father is dead. Probably your father is dead. I saw a dead snake around his neck. Maybe the snake bit him. And this was the crux point. Now we can, you know, have hindsight. As they say, hindsight is always 20-20. We can always understand things properly. So that time it was not so easy. The father is not taking the insult seriously. So that's his culture. But the boy is going to play a major role. What role is he going to play? He gets a shot, not of adrenaline, but of anger. My father insulted by this king. What king? Which king? Oh, these kings were like crows. When we brahmanas, we perform this agnihotras, we tell them out. You're not allowed in the arena. These royalty, I mean, just because they sponsor some of our fire sacrifice, that doesn't mean they become so proud. He picks up some water. He will be cursed to die within a week. Saptaha. Aha means a day. Ahani means a day. Sapta ahani. 7 days. I curse him to die. Now cursing is a, it's not a pastime as such, but if you read the Puranic literature, sometimes you find these guys don't have any other business. He cursed him, she cursed him, they cursed him. Cursing, counter cursing, curse, curse, curse. We are all Kali Yuga products here assembled. At least one aspect of our life is a Kali Yuga personality. Our curse don't work. Accept the fact. How many times you must have cursed the opposite cricket team or some other country or some employer, some boss or your interviewers or whoever. Students, especially you're writing an exam. Kisne paper nikala hai ye? Right? Or inflation, government policies. Prabhupada once quoted a Bengali saying, Shakuni shape guru marana. Who is Shakuni? Not the Mahabharata Shakuni. Shakuni is a vulture. Giddha. Giddhad in Marathi. The Shakuni, the vulture, sees a cow, guru. Cow is a guru. And the vulture tells the cow, you die. Now, why would a vulture curse a cow? So he can eat her. Once she's dead, a vulture is given a siddhi that he can go 4 miles up. But what is it discovering? Dead bodies. So your height doesn't show your culture or your advancement of knowledge. The object of your research shows what culture you have. Very significant point we have to understand. So, Shakuni Shape, Guru doesn't die. But in the previous yugas, Satya, Trita, Dwapar especially, rishis would be very powerful. And their curse would act. I think last time I was speaking here, we had a discussion about a brahmana asking Srivas Thakur that, can I be allowed in your night kirtan? And he said, no. So then the next day he cursed Nimai Pandit. I curse you, you will have no material happiness. And Nimai Pandit said, I'm so thankful. I was actually worried that I want, in his mind he's saying, I want to take sannyas. Sannyas means no so-called material happiness. But I am the supreme enjoyer. I have to get all this happiness. Unless somebody curses me, how can I take sannyas? He says, thank you. At that time, that spell on this Brahmana got removed. And he said, I don't know why I said that. Mahaprabhu said, I know. So these are the mysterious ways in which Krishna acts. How did he act here? Parikshit Maharaj was put, please remember this, Parikshit Maharaj was put into this mental setup, mental situation. Prabhupada very clearly clarifies, if Parikshit Maharaj would have decided, he would have said, I don't accept this curse. I mean, you and me, we have this, the Amazon bill comes and says, I don't accept this. He says, hey, you ask for this, a traffic cop gives you a challan. I refuse to accept this challan. He says, hey, no sir, nowadays especially, somebody from Belgaum told me that one cop actually said that, I'm sorry, zamana bahut kharab aa gaya hai. He said, what do you mean kharab aa gaya hai? Why the situation is so bad? He says, now everything is recorded, everything is CCTV surveillance, so we can't earn much. Previously, any offense would have been decided by us whether there is an offense or not. Now there is a whole CCTV recording and I can't do anything. So, in one sense, this advancement has caused some consternation on the police part, but I heard someone telling me that nowadays, even if you are perfectly normal, they might tell your vehicle to just come on the side and say, just checking, don't worry, everything in order, go. Oof, you feel as if there is a relief, but then you also know that, hey, they can stop me anytime. Anyway, this is some development which I see in our area also. Because previously they didn't have any access to your previous data or whatever. Now everything is online. Tick, tack, ting, and then the whole thing comes. So, if humans have the ability to have this kind of surveillance, do you think Krishna as Paramatma doesn't have it? So, Prabhupada was asked by one of his professors, Hindus say there is a law of karma. But our question is, who is the witness? Unless there is a witness, like unless I see a recording where I am parking my car in a no parking area, why would I pay? Prabhupada said, at that time, I didn't have any answer. But later, by the blessings of my guru, I could understand. There is Paramatma inside. He is the one who sees every living entity. Coming to our main point. So, Parikshit Maharaj could have decided not to accept the curse. But he said, no. Let it be. So, in the grand scheme of things, like a big, what is called Vihangavalokan, a bird's eye view of everything that is happening, we can see that Parikshit Maharaj, powerful Rajarshi, Shamika Rishi, proper Brahman, very forgiving. But his son, Sringi, just 5, 6, 7 years old, childish. So this childish mentality's curse was used as a pivot. That was used as a spark. Like those who know mechanical engineering, in order to start a vehicle, you need a spark. That is a spark plug. We all use them, but we don't understand. You said, so that a spark plug has actually acted and therefore the internal combustion process has started. So Sringi acts like that. Afterwards, Sringi is brought in the scene and is gone forever. We don't hear about him anywhere in Bhagavatam after that. Was he lamenting? Was he giggling? Was he? No. He was just used, gone. And Maharaj Parikshit is being told that 7 days only. What would you like to do? If I was asked, I mean, I hope not. I'm not ready for it. But if, what is today? 25th. 7 more days. 2nd of July, 2023 is your last time on earth. What would you do? I would take big gulps and would see, really? Only 7 days? Well, not 7 more. I have to do some emails and I have to do some article writing. And No, only 7 days. That's it. So we know that we can die in 7 days only. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 7 days only. Now, which 7 is the issue, right? Which particular day of this 7? There's no 8th day as such. We can also see how material world, what people like to see, what people like to do. So, one of our preachers here used to say that in the 60s or 70s in America, there was a TV serial where somebody actually got this information that you have a cancer and you have 100 days to live. 100 days, which means what? 3 months and 10 more days. So what to do? So somebody said, okay, you can go to any favorite place of vacation you like. So Bahamas today, Hawaii, Amazon forest, Andes mountains, any other mountain, Himalayas. And every vacation place, they would show this particular fellow enjoying the local cuisine and the local music, the local attire, dress, theme, songs, everything. This show went on for 100 episodes. Each episode they would show him enjoying. It became so popular, they told the doctor, give him 100 more days. Why? Because the show is making money. What's the problem? So, not exactly like that, but demigods from the heavens, devatas, they brought their own pitchers, pots of nectar. And they were standing near the place where Maharaj Parikshit was sitting. And Shukadeva Goswami was sitting in front of him. And somebody passed the message to Shukadeva Goswami that here are some devatas directly come from Devalok. What do they want? They say that since the king is about to leave, we have a offer. What is that? We got some nectar. This nectar is guaranteed to give you long life and blah, 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 whatever advertisement is done in the heavenly planets, that they are called Amara. Amara. No one dies there. Not true anyway. They do. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita in one line only. Shine punye martya lokam vishanti. They come down here. So how do they manage to call the place of Amara, where no one dies? And Krishna is saying they do come down. In fact, you know what's happening right now with this heavy rainfall? Some devatas who have finished their vacation time there, they are being sent down. Some of them take help of this raindrop. The raindrop falls on the ground. If it becomes part of a small grain or a corn, wheat, barley, they take shelter there. That is made into atta, flour. You and me, we eat that. And if that particular soul is injected into the womb of a mother, out he comes in a new body. This is one of the ways in which these souls are so-called recycled. Not a very good word to say that, but that's how they are. So, just a few days ago, he was flying with siddhis and everything. But gone, the stock of punya is gone. So, your sojourn has to be ended. So, it is said that the particular loka, there is a big sign. Like you have the Hollywood sign in America, Hollywood, so Devalok, Amaralok. I mean, good. I am in the right place now. And before you have to leave that particular place, they transport you to some, God knows which particular planet or which particular place. And you die from that geographical location. So the record of Devalok is squeaky clean. No one dies here. See, some of you are already thinking, hey, this is very sneaky, this is very crafty. Who told you to believe in advertisements? Believe it or not, Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, that Arjun, don't believe the flowery language of the Vedas. I, who the author of the Vedas, I am telling you, don't believe it. Yamimam pushpitam vacham. Pushpitam is flowery language. At least in Kali Yuga, you and me cannot say we never have flowery language. 74-inch plasma 4K TV, only 1 rupee. That's flowery language. Isn't it? Control your anger in only 20 seconds. Some YouTube video, flowery language. Become smart in 5 minutes. Control your anger. Have self-esteem. Become supercharged. Learn negotiation skills. Learn this, learn that. This is all flowery language. So, these demigods were asked, so what's your plan? Please give him this. He will have a nice time. But tell Shukdev Goswami that since we have brought this nectar, can we be allowed to hear Bhagavatamrit here? And Shukdev Goswami was furious. For this, in Bombay language you say chavanni. For this kind of paltry exchange, you want to hear Krishna Katha? Why did you go there then, to the heavenly planets? Because your hearts were filled with so many material desires. So once you go there, it's just like, first time Prabhupada came to Honolulu, Hawaii, and he said, oh, this atmosphere is just like any heavenly planet. Not in a good way. He said, this is very bad for Vairagya. How can you discuss Janma Mrityu Jaravyadi in a place where it looks so nice, so rosy, everything is so hunky-dory, everything is so nice. So Shukdev Goswami kicked them out. He says, take your nectar and dafao jao, get out. And they were thinking like, nectar, amrit de rahe, and what's the problem? Now this is a lesson for you and me, that when we hear Bhagavat, what exactly is happening? This information, which looks like a story, the philosophy, which looks like concepts, actually has the ability to penetrate our hearts, cleanse our heart, that no other karmakanda can do, no other ritual can do, nothing can do that. They will simply go on compounding the issue rather than sorting it out or solving it. So, Maharaj Parikshit, in this exchange, Maharaj Parikshit is not at all involved. And he is sitting there. Then he sees the assembly. We can see the importance of an occasion by understanding who are interested in attending it. The Rajarshi is leaving the planet, and all these galaxy of sadhus, I think, previously we have the names of these rishis who had come, and they all came with their disciples. That means they told their disciples that this is not going to be repeated again. Just one word in the shloka here, Bhagavat Pradhan. It means the best of the Vaishnavas. That person is leaving his body. So, Prabhupada begins this understanding of this verse by telling us about Vaikuntha planets. I was very intrigued when I first read about something called spiritual sky. I remember in my childhood, 2-3 places I used to go, Panvel, and there is another place called Katevadi, which is about far away, maybe 200-300 kilometers. These were the only two places where we could sleep in the courtyard, especially during summer times. And Mumbai, you won't be noticing it so much. But there, every time I would go, I would look up, this feeling of starry night. This is a, I don't know, it's a Hollywood phrase, something, starry night. Star, star, star. And I remember, inevitably I would say, am I like a star to someone over there? Is somebody looking at me thinking that, who must be staying there? Who could be, what this particular dot of light? And the questions would come and next day morning they would just vaporize. There was no answer for that. Am I like a alien to someone? As I started reading about aliens, UFOs, and you may not feel, but in America, there is almost like 30-40% of people feeling that the government is concealing something from us. There are aliens who come. And of course, it is Kali Yuga. You also have so many fakers who say, I saw an alien. I was abducted myself and I came down here and blah, blah, blah. And therefore, the general populace is like, hey, don't believe that stuff. The interest is there, but it is fueled by bad science, pseudoscience, or just fakery. Now imagine Prabhupada going to the West and saying, there is a spiritual sky. How do we believe that? Or about eternal life. One philosopher said, we have people here today who don't know what to do with this life. And you're asking, what about eternal life? I don't know what to do with my time today. And you're telling me eternity. Better there be no eternity. So this is the classic conundrum or the puzzle of Kali Yuga, where we just don't know. We are so short-term oriented that whether there is a afterlife, whether there is a Vaikuntha sky, you say, kisne dekha hai, who has seen, why I should be bothered. In fact, one day a friend told that, I'm having serious business problems, health problems, family problems. You are telling me to chant Hare Krishna and if I go here, all problems will be solved. But what about solving my problems today? My current problems. And for a moment I was thinking, maybe he's correct. Maybe we should have Hare Krishna which should be giving only solution to current real problems. And one day I read a story by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There was a fisherman. The fisherman would go. I've seen in Odisha, fishermen going at night and coming back before dawn. Because some fish, they get attracted by, they have a fire, like a small torch. And then fish get attracted and they catch them. Some go at dawn time also, which both these are possibilities. When he would come back on the shore and would walk about half a kilometer towards his cottage, oh, his feet would be pricked or cut by sharp shells or stones, and he would walk like this, and it would, sometimes it would be cut, sometimes the wounds. And he would always think that, when will this problem end? When will this problem end? And one day he had a scheme that, I'll become rich. I'll work hard. I'll become so rich. That, you know what I'm going to do? If I become so rich, I will buy mattresses. Thick, comfortable, foam mattresses. And right from the shore till my cottage, I would make a whole sequence of these mattresses. And if you had asked him then, and what would happen? Well, I come out of my boat, I put my catch safely, and when I walk, I would not have any cuts and any other wounds. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, this is the sum total, the sigma of a materialistic's brain power. This is my problem, this is my solution. You may say, Maharaj, why be so harsh? He says, this fool doesn't know, if you have so much money that you can buy mattress, everything, why would you continue fishing? Oh no, that I have to do. Once Radhananda Maharaj in a class gave an example of a prisoner condemned to break rocks. So he was asked that, what is the best thing that can be done to you? He said that if there is a small shed made so that I can be protected from the sun, and if I get a better hammer, I can do my work more properly. Oh, what about release from the prison? Is it possible? I don't think so. I think I am here and this is where I will be. This is the problem. The Bhagavatam tries to tell us that this is the problem. You are accepting this temporary material situation as all in all, and this situation is dictating how you should think, what you should think, what is the problem and what is the solution. Two words in this sloka here. Vi rajaskam, vi shokam. What is vi rajaskam? Completely free from mundane contamination. Vi shokam, completely free from all lamentation. And when a untrained mind or an untrained intelligence reads that, he say, hey, not possible. I personally don't think there is any place where there is no contamination and no lamentation. Lamentation has to be there. So, this mentality is the target of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, just by telling someone, I'll end with this example. Giriraj Maharaj gave once, I think in a class here or in Juhu, I don't remember. He said a wretched person doesn't have any resources. He begs for food. Sometimes, what does a person beg? Please give any leftovers. Anybody has any leftovers? So if you say, why you are begging for leftovers? Why not say that, kuch fresh banaya hua puri sabji hai to de do. He said, that will be the end of my career. Nobody is going to give that. By asking for leftovers, at least there is a sensor called pity, and that sensor gets evoked. At least somebody would give me some leftovers. You don't want to eat that, why not give it to me? So he gets variety, wide variety. All leftovers. Basi kadhi, basi roti, basi chawal. Everything is basi, everything is stale. The Jnana Marg, the Karmakand Marg, they are like, don't eat this. Don't eat this. Very bad for health. Very bad, very bad, very bad. At least sometimes the person is going to say, buzz off, get out. As such, I am not getting food. I get food once in 3-4 days. And I start eating and this idiot comes and starts giving me lessons that how this will harm my pancreas, how this will harm the intestines, how this will harm. I don't know what else to eat. Don't you understand? I don't have anything here. What Mahaprabhu says is you chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You may say, bolne se bhojan aayega? Well, yes and no. It is not exactly that you chant Hare Krishna and some miracle happens. It is the beginning of the miraculous journey. Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. That emptiness
that contamination in the heart. That's our target. So, our old example, the beggar is sitting with his plate of basi food, stale food. And then Mahaprabhu and his disciples and followers like Prabhupada, they come with a piping hot plate full of puffed up puris, and puri are the only ones which are allowed to be puffed up, by the way. Not you and me. The puri has to be fully puffed up. Okay? Sabji, achar, pickles, juice, nectar, sweet, rabdi, rasgulla, everything. That plate is kept side by side. Naturally, attention will be diverted here. And then if somebody runs away with this stale plate, is this person going to protest? Or is the person going to say, okay, wait, what I'll do is, I'll eat my regular stuff now, and this I will save for evening. No. Normally, no. It's Kali Yuga, you have to use words very carefully. Normally, no. That could be somebody who would say, no, I'll eat that first. Says, all right, if that's what you want. But normally, sane person, more than 72 IQ, whatever, they would take this one. And if somebody runs away with that, they say, you know, this person stole your previous plate. He says, who cares? Who cares? This is real renunciation. Renunciation is not the soul is not meant for material renunciation, nor meant for material enjoyment. This was such a relief for me. I was thinking that Krishna consciousness, you have to renounce. And in one class, Prabhupada says, you want to enjoy this world? You'll become a thief. You're enjoying somebody else's property. I said, oh, no, I don't want to enjoy somebody else's property. I'll enjoy what is my own. There is nothing you can claim as your own. Buddhir buddhimatam asmi, tejas tejas vinaham, paurisham nirishu. Krishna checks all the boxes. He says, I'm a scientist. I'm a data analyst. I study C, I study Python, I study programming, I mean AI. Hey, Prabhu, Mataji, whatever, I gave you the brain power, okay? So whatever you make from that brain power belongs to me. Just as a carpenter comes and makes an almira at your home, it's yours. He makes it, but it belongs to you. Isn't it? So, after getting frustrated with this enjoyment proclivity, you say, all right, I renounce it. Prabhupada is saying it was not yours in the first place. So you catch something, thief, alarm goes off. You renounce something, fool, idiot. You say, what am I supposed to do then? Go to a spiritual master. Surrender everything what you have. Show everything. You know, this ED people, they go to this big business people, enforcement directorate, and they try to check their accounts. The first thing they say is, sab kuch bahar nikalo. Everything, whatever is in your pocket, small diary, notes, everything. All night they go through that and they say, all right, this much is not accounted for. So similarly, Krishna in one sense says that, empty your pockets, everything. I'll tell you what to use, what not to use, what to use in the future. Good for you, it's for your benefit. So this is what our target is, what Rishi Munis are telling others, that such a great soul, a Rajarshi, is leaving. How can we lose that chance? Prabhupada, this is a very emotive thing here. That's our last point for the day, that they all consulted among themselves that this great devotee is going to depart. This great departure, they wanted to see up to the last moment. Why? Because afterwards they will never be able to see him. But if you say, hey, you're not the body, you're the soul. Bhakti is not a heartless process. Bhakti is not with foolishness in the heart. It is heartful, heartfelt. So, when a great devotee of the Lord passes away, there is nothing to be lamented. You say, okay, he's going to, like Ramanujacharya, when he was leaving, he was telling his disciples, why are you crying? I'm going to be with Lord Narayan. I should be happy. I mean, I should feel like crying because I'm leaving you here and I'm going to be with them. So when the great devotee passes, there is nothing to be lamented. And then the very next sentence Prabhupada is saying, but the sorry plight, the sorry state of our heart is that when such great devotees leave our sight, there is every reason to be sorry. Why is that? Once one devotee explained that after this, I won't be able to serve this particular Vaishnava. I lost my chance. He or she is happy. They are on their way back to Godhead. But I could have made progress by giving them something or is sitting with next to them, hearing them chant. So we have these dual emotions in our heart when somebody leaves. We don't lament that, Are, abhi iska kya hoga? Don't worry. When Prabhupada was, this is November 14, Prabhupada passed away. First week of November, Brahmananda Swami, big body and big capabilities and everything, huge about his name itself was like a big name in ISKCON. And he comes to Prabhupada and says, I can't see you like this. I can't bear to see your situation like that. And Prabhupada was muttering something. And Jayadeva Maharaj would be there telling him about dictating, Prabhupada would be dictating purports. So unless you keep your ear very close to Prabhupada's mouth, you couldn't really understand what he's saying. So then Brahmananda Swami took his ear very near Prabhupada's face and he heard Prabhupada saying, don't think this will not happen to you. At that time, Prabhupada is preaching to him, don't you worry about me. I am insured. As they say, insure and be sure. So Prabhupada said, I am insured. Don't you think this won't happen to you? Through him, Prabhupada is telling all of us. So there is no mundane pity when a devotee leaves. But there is a spiritual feeling of separation that I lost or I would lose a chance to serve him. So these are some points about today's words. Thank you very much for being such a kind, patient audience. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthalaya Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Namo.